Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Compliance Week news podcast of the week of Friday, August 13th. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to be talking about activism in the boardroom. We've seen numerous reforms in recent years that both assign more responsibility to the board of directors and at the same time it's giving shareholders more power that they can exercise if they can get into the boardroom as well. So today we're going to delve into what activists really want to do in this new governance climate. To that end, we are joined by Lucy Marcus. She is CEO and founder of Marcus Venture Consulting, which is a firm that works with various venture capital and private equity firms, both in the United States and Europe. And Lucy herself is also a self-described activist board director and a non-executive director on several different companies. And she writes about governance issues frequently. So Lucy, welcome, and thank you to the program today.
Thank you for having me.
So now, first question, as I said, we have seen a lot of reforms both granted to shareholders to give them more power, such as, say, on pay votes, shareholder access to the proxy statement, de-staggered boards and whatnot. At the same time, we've also seen a lot more responsibility placed on corporate directors. And so I think that there is a lot of change going on in that ability to be an activist once you are in the boardroom. So I was curious if you could talk a little about what you think these reforms mean and which ones activist directors or shareholder groups, which reforms might they really use and what is the world going to be like now?
Well, it's a big question. I mean, with a dramatically different economic environment in which all of these organizations are operating and increased scrutiny by stakeholders and government alike, the nature of what it takes to be a responsible board member has changed. And simply looking over the shoulder of executive teams and offering an occasional word of wisdom or direction is simply not sufficient. And non-executive board directors, to my mind, do need to be activists in their approach to ensure that the organizations they're serving are not simply surviving but thriving in difficult economic times. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that boards should ask no less of their directors than that. And the best organizations, be they for-profit or non-profit, by the way, are looking for active, engaged, and interested board members that encourage that climate of discussion. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be an environment in which board members are comfortable and indeed required, really, to ask the hard questions and challenge the status quo and step up to assist in areas where they can. I mean, being an independent board director really should mean bringing independence, both in word and deed, and a fresh perspective to the organization. So I think it's really important for board members, when they come onto a board, to distinguish what's going on in what they're being told and in what they're seeing. I think it's particularly important time when you start in as a new director to reach out to other board members, to look around and talk to staff, to talk to the people, to really ask the hard questions, because that's a big part of our responsibility. And frankly, when you first step on a board, that's when you have the freshest view of what's happening. And I think, really, to my mind, activist board directors, it's not about going in and making trouble. It's about contributing. It's about asking the hard questions, listening to the answers, and helping to come up with solutions. That's a big piece of it, to my mind.
Well, just another follow-up question to that. I was wondering, I think a lot of executives, compliance officers, general counsels, they're probably looking at this larger picture thinking, oh, my God, the boardroom is going to become a free-for-all. Do you really think that there's any sort of sharp, punctuated change that's coming, or is this, like you said, there's a lot of hard work to be done, and maybe there's going to be more, but I'm trying to get a sense of how stark of a difference might it be in governance between what had been happening and what might happen in the future?
I really hope that what it means is not so much a stark difference, but actually people living up to the commitment that they sign up to when they sign up to this job. I mean, mm-hmm. being a non-executive director is a job, like any other job. And I feel that my job is to go in and ask questions and look at the numbers. I mean, I particularly have a special interest and affinity towards finance committees and audit committees. So for me, that means asking the hard questions about the numbers, past, present, and future, you know, looking at the risk metrics and understanding what's there, you know, going into the organization a bit, you know, while still maintaining that understanding. I mean, it's really important that, that activist directors know the difference between executive and non-executive responsibilities. So you don't want to be perceived as, you know, running around and trying to get stuff done that really isn't within your purview. But, you know, we carry the fiduciary responsibilities. There are new, you know, legislative responsibilities. You know, you can't, it's just not good enough to think, here's a nice board, I'll go along, you know, say a couple things, look like I'm interested, you know, eat their lunch and go. That's just not your job. And, you know, for anyone who thinks that that's okay, it's just not okay in my mind. So I don't think that compliance officers should be worried. I actually think they should be a little relieved because instead of having something that looks as if people are paying attention and having everybody outside look at companies that are struggling, look at the banking industry and so on and say, you know, where were the non-executive directors? You know, why wasn't anybody saying anything? Why wasn't anybody asking the hard questions? I think actually having people in there who are willing to ask those hard questions and who are willing to challenge the organization and who are willing to actually not just ask hard questions but contribute to creating solutions, that should ease the burden, not make it worse.
Now, one thing I forgot to mention at the start of our discussion was that you are based in London. So I am curious, do you have any sense of what different attitudes there might be between the United States and Europe about activism in the boardroom and how executives are handling it and what the climates are?
Well, I think there are a couple things. I mean, by its very nature, most business, I would even presume to say all business, is global. And so none of us, you know, no organization acts in a vacuum. So, you know, any board that I sit on or would consider sitting on is actually trying to operate to the highest standard, not the what can we get away with standard. And so the discussions that we're having in the UK are, you know, how are we going to live up to whatever the highest legislation is within the U.S.? And by the same token, we're looking across Europe. I mean, this whole discussion around diversity in the boardroom, I think, is very important. And, of course, the threats of legislation coming from the EU, there are several countries that have legislation about women represented on boards and so on. I mean, I think, you know, this issue around diversity on boards is an important one, not because it's about women, but because all boards should have diversity. Diversity of thought and idea. Boards should represent the stakeholders that they're serving. There are women in their organizations and with their customers. There are people of color in their organizations and with their customers. There are people who, you know, have a variety of perspectives from around the world, and those things should be represented on a board in order for a board to be doing its job. So if I see a board with no women on it, to me it's more of a canary in a mine than, you know, something to say they're doing something wrong, you know, in particular about women. So legislation that we're seeing, you know, coming across from different parts of Europe on things like that, we pay attention to. And I think the attitude in terms of activist board members, I suppose you could say to a certain extent that people always say that that boards are sort of old boys networks and so on. But, you know, and in Europe it might be more conservative to a certain extent, or parts of Europe might be more conservative than in the U.S. But I'm not sure. I mean, you know, when I think we're still on a par in terms of how people get board seats. It's someone knows someone who knows someone. And I think headhunters are working very hard to try to extend the reach. But when a shortlist is put in front of a board and they have to choose someone, it certainly is easier in hiring, just like it's easier in any job, to hire someone that's familiar or looks like you or sounds like you. And the challenge is, you know, in order to have a healthy organization, are you reaching out to a larger pool and are you trying to bring those people on the board? I mean, and that leads to this question about board refreshment and succession and making sure that that we're always reinvigorating boards, retraining, retooling, and bringing on new voices. I mean, that's how you build robust organizations, and not just from the board. you know, all the way through the organization, but an organization will show that by how they build their board. Have they brought in new ideas, new ways of thinking, new experiences, something unfamiliar? Are you comfortable having people around a boardroom and bringing those people together to move in the same direction?
And last question then. We've talked a little bit about the importance of independent directors, and I mean, you're a non-executive director at a few different companies, but I know that there is at least a school of thought out there that you want your directors to be heavily invested in the company. You want them to be in it up to their necks because that is what gets them interested. And if we have all independent directors and we go to an independence extreme, they might become too detached. And I hear from time to time a sort of a theoretical conflict out there about the pros and cons of independence. I was just wondering if you could give us some thoughts on where you come down on independence and how to handle something like that.
Well, I think that tension, that dichotomy, is a healthy one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as an independent director, I find that I constantly have to be challenging myself to, you know, fall in love with the company, but not too in love. You know, to feel as if I'm, you know, hitching my name, my ideas, my reputation to the company, and I'm willing to step up on behalf of the company when needed, but at the same time to be able to step back. I mean, it's the same role as a chairperson. You know, as the chair of a board, you have to be in there helping the CEO, coaching the chief executive, you know, working together, but at the same time holding them to account. So that's the important piece and the interesting and in some ways intriguing piece of acting as an independent director is constantly holding yourself to account and the other people around the table to account.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always thought that I was a bit of a maverick, but actually when I find myself around a board table, I've discovered I'm I actually live quite within a box. I have very structured ethical sense about right and wrong in terms of things that I'm willing to do and things that I'm not willing to do, things that I, you know, feel must be challenged and things that are not as important. And I think you have to have that strong sense of self. I mean, one of the things I do when I join a board is I sort of try to get a 360-degree perspective on what's happening. I write down, I always start a new notebook, and I write down everything that I think and see and feel. And then I go back to that on a regular basis because the longer no matter what term you're on, you need to be on a board long enough so that you actually get familiar. So you don't want terms to be too short. But if you're on too long, then you become part of the fabric. And so I constantly refer back to my thoughts and observations from when I first started to remind myself of what I thought was important. And so that ability to step in and step out and also, you know, you don't want to hold too many non-executive directorships, but holding a couple means that you don't spend too much time, too much effort, fall too much in love.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having hobbies and not being a workaholic. You've got to have that sort of tension and constantly challenge yourself and the organization.
All right. Well, Lucy, that's all the time today that we have, but you covered plenty of ground for us, so thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And again, everybody, that was Lucy Marcus from the Marcus Venture Consulting Group in London talking with us about the new environment for shareholder and director activism in the boardroom. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.